Greetings, dear friends, in the worthy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Today we want to wish you and yours a very Merry Christmas. But for me simply to wish it for you doesn't necessarily assure you of that, does it? And yet, our God, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, has done everything necessary for you to have a really Merry Christmas and a great New Year. If we go back to the early prophecies in the Word of God, we will find that God, even back as far as the Garden of Eden, prophesied concerning the birth, the incarnation, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we can trace it right through the Word of God. We read, in fact, in Genesis 3:15 that the seed of the woman should bruise the serpent's head. The seed of the woman is a most significant expression, very unusual. It refers to the virgin birth of the Messiah, that which we are supposedly celebrating at Christmas season. Every other birth that has ever taken place, every birth apart from the virgin birth, apart from the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ, was a result of the seed of man. Your birth, my birth, and all the rest. And it's only in the person of the Lord Jesus and the miracle of that virgin birth that took place at Bethlehem so many years ago, it is in that case only where God broke ranks and brought about the unique birth of God the Son, God the world's Redeemer, the one who was born of a virgin, having been conceived of God the Holy Spirit. You say, well, that's impossible. I can't accept that at all. And yet, I'd like to remind you of a few facts. From the 1975 Reader's Digest Almanac, which covered the statistics for 1974, would it surprise you to know that, according to those calculations, in China alone, there was some 830 million people plus? They have a birth rate of 33.1 births per thousand, compared to India, where there are over 587 million people with 42.8 births per thousand. In the USSR, Russia, with 253 million plus, a birth rate of 18.0 births per thousand. And then there is the United States, 212 million with 15.0 births per thousand. What's all that got to do, you say, with the birth of the Lord Jesus? Well, simply to make this point. The United Nations tells us that there are 4 babies born throughout the world every single second. 200,000 born every day around the world. Just think about it. Every day, every hour, the world's population is increasing by this fantastic amount. And every one of them is the result of a human father and a human mother and God himself giving that element that we know as life. Now, my point is, if God can bring about the miracle of birth at the rate of 200,000 each day, and this is to say nothing of the animal kingdom, or I should say the rest of the animal kingdom, the dogs, the cats, and all the rest of it, as far as I'm concerned, this is a tremendous miracle. Every time a tiny little baby is born into this world, to see those teeny fingers and those little eyes and all the rest of it, it's a miracle of God. And yet, one time, just once, our God decided that he would break rank. He would step out of the norm. And without the instrumentality, without the aid of a human father, he would, for on one occasion, by his own divine power, by his own divine sovereignty, he would on this one occasion produce a little tiny body through the birth of a mother, but without the use of a human father. And I say, if he can do this at the rate of some 50,000 times a day in China alone, some 200,000 times every day throughout the world. If he can do this miracle this many times every day, plus all the animal kingdom, plus the birds, the fish, the fowl, is he not capable of doing it on one occasion if he so desires without the help of a father? I refer you now to Isaiah chapter 7. Therefore the Lord himself, notice who it is that's given us the sign. No one less than Jehovah God. No one less than God Almighty. No one less than the one who is eternal. The Lord himself shall give you a sign. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Thank God for the virgin, that select lady that we read about in the New Testament, known to us as Mary. Behold, the virgin shall conceive, a woman who has never known man. She shall conceive and bear a son. And will you note with me, please, the name that is given to this son? Emmanuel. Most of you know what that means, but for the few who may not, Emmanuel simply means God with us. Do you know what we mean when we use the word incarnation? It is God becoming man, God becoming incarnate, God himself taking a body. For you ladies who do the shopping, and you stop at the grocery store, you pick up a can of chili con carne. It means chili with meat. Chili con carne. Chili with meat. And that's what we mean. That's the word incarnation. It's God becoming flesh. God becoming man. Moving on now to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. We find another prophecy here where we read, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." I believe that is very significant. Even the reverse of that would have had a different emphasis, a different connotation. Had it said that the son was born and the child was given, it would have meant something entirely different. The son was not born. You know why? Because the son was and is eternal. We will look at more of that in just a moment. But the child was born, the infant cradled in Mary's arms, the infant that grew into manhood, that infant was born. That little child had a birth. The Christ child had a beginning. But the eternal Christ was forever past. And for that reason, it says the Son, God the Son, who was from eternity past, from eternal ages past, this Son was given. And notice what it says, "And the government shall be upon his shoulder." When we read in the gospel account of him going out looking for the lost sheep, he brings that lost wandering sheep back across his shoulders, plural. He is concerned about the individual sheep. But here where we read of it as a government, it's simply stated to be upon a single shoulder. But our emphasis today is upon the person of the Lord Jesus. And I want you to notice this one who was virgin born, this one that was conceived of the Holy Ghost, this one who was from eternal ages past, what does it say his name is? He shall be called Wonderful. And to those of us who know him, we say, hey, praise God, he is indeed wonderful. Not only so, his name is Counselor. Got sort of a long name, handy. Just in this verse, and this is just a few of the many parts of that great name of our God, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. His name shall be called the Mighty God. Not a mighty God. Not a part of the Godhead. This child that is born and this son that is given, his name is the Mighty God. None less. Nothing else. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Mighty God. Notice what else it says. He is the Everlasting Father. He is the one from everlasting ages past. And he is the Prince of Peace. There are those who try to tell you that Jesus is a God, but not the God. Friend, don't you buy that at all. This verse, and we're going now to the New Testament as time permits, tells us that he's a Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. He is one and the same as the Everlasting Father. And hallelujah, he is the Prince of Peace. Do you want to have real peace? I mean lasting peace, eternal peace. real peace, it can be found only in the Lord Jesus Christ. Looking at Matthew chapter 1, we find these words. While he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. They were engaged. They were promised. The wedding had not yet been consummated. And he was looking forward to taking Mary his wife when he found out that she was with child. Naturally, he was upset. But the angel goes on, this messenger from the Lord, and he tells Joseph, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Oh, friend, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. For he shall save his people from their sins. And verse 25, for sake of time, and he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, if you really want to study the fact that Jesus Christ is God, I would encourage you today to get into John chapter 1 and read what it says there about this one who was and is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and the Word was made flesh incarnate, see, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. If you want to go further and study about the truth that Jesus Christ is God, go to Colossians chapter 1 and then to Hebrews 1. That's John 1, Colossians 1, and Hebrews 1. And in Hebrews 1 and 8 we read that the Father says unto the Son, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. I trust that at this Christmas time you know for sure the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son, and you can say, yes, indeed, he is wonderful. If not, friend, why don't you right now, with bended knee and contrite heart, acknowledging your sin and say, Lord Jesus, I'll trust you today. I'll accept you as my Lord, Redeemer, Master, and Savior. And then, friend, you can go on your way rejoicing. The greatest Christmas gift you can receive is Jesus Christ and his gift of eternal life. He that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son of God has not life. Hallelujah, he says, I've written these things unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, so that you can know that you have eternal life. And with Christ as your Lord and Master and Savior today, with eternal life as your possession, and with the Word of God giving you the assurance, then, for time and eternity, you can have a great Christmas, a blessed New Year, and a glorious eternity. Then you'll be more interested in Calvary's tree than you are the Christmas tree. You'll be more interested in the presence of the living Christ than you are in any Christmas presents you might open. You'll be more interested more in the joy bells of salvation than the jingle bells of a one-horse sleigh. Oh, friend of mine, why don't you today, right now, receive him? As many as received him, to them gave you the power to become the children of God, even to those that believe on his name. Do it today for his name's sake, for your soul's sake. Amen.